14. The Ministry's Enemy. Harry apparated into place before the mansion and sagged against the door, panting. He had one moment to hope that the wards on the place recognized him, and then another curse shot past him and splintered the wood where his hand rested. Harry swore and pounded on it, hearing the strange, nearly soundless glide of vampire feet inside. Draco's servants were coming, but he didn't know that it would be fast enough. "Come on!" he shouted as another curse hit the shield charm around his body and nearly cracked it. Harry's magic was strong enough to hold off half a dozen of people, but they had been hitting him and chasing him for more than an hour, and his exhaustion, not to mention the cracked ribs and the spell that had nearly filled one lung with fluid before he caught on, was telling against him. The door swung open. Harry stepped to the side and then around, blocked the fire curse from one of his pursuers that could have burned Draco's door guard. Some of it got through his protection, and he shut his eyes and tried not to whimper as the pain scrapped at his senses. He didn't want the guard to get in trouble for something that had happened to him, something that wouldn't have happened if he had been smart and gone back to Draco's protection the instant he'd learned the relevant names instead of waiting for the third of the month to throw off suspicion. He hadn't thrown off suspicion as much as stepped straight into their perfectly executed assassination plot. Potter. Merlin God, it was Draco behind him, his arms cradling Harry around his chest, pressing delicately on the broken ribs, as if he wanted to bind them with bandages. His cold breath on Harry's throat. Harry turned his head and tried not to moan. His body did pick inappropriate times to get aroused by the vampire he would take as his lover. If they survived this night and take lovers or worry about it at all, that was. "Get down!" he hissed and kicked Draco's legs back behind him as another curse howled at them. A mixture of fire and plasma, this one, relying on imitating the surface of the sun. Harry desperately performed the counter-curse, but still felt the sharp burn on the side of his hand, like the bite of an animal with one deadly tooth. "You're the one they were after, the one they were after all along. I was just a distraction, and they played me beautifully, and I'm not letting them assassinate you, and they've tried so hard to do just that." Draco's hand took his shoulder, and then he turned, with strength that Harry couldn't resist any more than he could an ocean wave, and pushed him into the house. "You are hurt," he said. And his nostrils were flaring wide when Harry looked at him, the bones of his face pushing against his skin as if they would burst through. "Someone else has drawn your blood." His hand found the side of Harry's throat and tightened. "The blood that belongs to me." "Look, it's not that they meant to take my blood away from you. It's more like they wanted to take you away from me." Draco smiled at him, and Harry fell silent. He knew it was a smile, but even he had to fight the shudder of fear that ran down his spine at the sight of those fangs, bright and long and sprouting longer as Harry watched them, curved like the teeth of a skeletal tiger Harry had seen once in a muggle museum. Draco scratched Harry's shoulder once with a nail and pulled his hand back with a single drop of blood gleaming bright there. "I have your permission," he asked Harry, holding his tongue out towards his finger. Harry wanted to say that it looked like Draco didn't have to have his permission, given that he'd already stolen his blood away. But Draco's eyes gleamed at him, and Harry's breath came short and he ripped his head up and down in a clumsy knot. Draco nodded back and touched his finger with his tongue. There seemed to be a silent explosion of heat and light. No, not light. Something the reverse of light. Harry saw Draco's hair stir at the flight of a wind no one else felt, and then he turned and faced the street. His mouth opened further, his tongue lapping out and over his fangs, and then he roared. Harry felt his chest shudder and he took a step backwards before he could stop himself. That was worse than any roar of lion or tiger or crocodile he'd heard. And he'd heard a variety before, given how odd the aura job could get. This was the roar of something that, he knew instinctively, hunted humans. The shouting of his pursuers in the streets fell silent for a moment. And into that silence, Draco leaped. Harry had known vaguely that his notions of protecting Draco were wrong before this, at least when he saw the damage Draco had wrought on the body of Terence Chales. Every wound Harry had suffered from his attack replicated exactly, but exactly twice as bad. One of the hushed healers had told Harry, but knowing it and seeing it happen were different things. Harry's attackers came out of the shadows when they had hidden at the sight of Draco. He was their prime target, after all. All six were aurors, all known to Harry, and two of them in his year at Hogwarts. He sneered in spite of how much he heard and how terrified he was at the sight of Michael Corner and Daphne Greengrass. They had spoken to him gently and sympathetically about his assignment as the vampire flock's negotiator in the last month, before he had learned who they were. Talk about betrayal. All of them cast curses combining sunlight and fire at Draco. It would have slaughtered an ordinary vampire in an instant. Harry knew that much. Not Lord Malfoy. He was never where the curses were, dancing among them in a series of flickering afterimages, his motions like a great mantis. One moment his arms curled out almost tenderly around Greengrass, and the next he'd sliced her throat open and she was falling, the blood spraying Corner instead of Draco as he tried frantically to defend himself. For a moment Harry was afraid that Corner had succeeded, and he had sent Draco to his death. But Draco was rearing up from beneath Corner's wand, twitching it contemporaneously to the side to avoid the steam of flames and using his fangs to slit Corner open from navel to neck. He fell, dying, and Draco kicked him in the ribs and finished the kill, driving the bones upwards and sideways and into his vital organs at the same moment. That left four aurors, who tried to fall together into a line. Harry tensed, sucking in a breath. He had seen that tactic destroy powerful enemies. But Draco roared again, and the line fell apart in fear as two of them tried to stand and two tried to flee. Draco grabbed the two who had stood and cracked their heads together, then did something elegant and horrible with his hands that, when he backed away and leaped over their bodies, left their necks entwined like ropes. He landed on the fleeing ones, and Harry saw him grip the neck of one of them and pull. The woman's entire spinal column came out and dangled dripping from his hands. Then he turned to the other man and ripped his throat open, easing him to the ground. Harry could see him grimacing as he fed, but he kept on doing it. The hot flare of jealousy that took him made him swallow back nausea. Is my blood no good enough for him? But a moment later he realized what was going on and felt like a fool for objecting to it. Of course, Draco was making one of the cowardly aurors into a vampire. one he could easily control and pull memories from. Anything Harry had not known about the attack or the conspiracy to kill Draco and his flock, Draco would make sure that he got from the man whose name had been Banner. Harry closed his eyes and leaned against the wall. He still felt pain, but the greatest panic, the one that said he had to get to Draco before someone silenced him and killed Draco while polyjuiced as him, was past. He concentrated on casting the minor healer spells that he could for a few minutes, before something growled in front of him and he opened his eyes. He was aware of Banner as a dim, crouching shadow in the background, now the newest member of the flock. But he was most aware of Draco in front of him, shining like a star, and with the gravity of one. Harry leaned forwards. "You are giving yourself to me?" Draco was held back on a leash of pure will, so strong that Harry couldn't see movement in his limbs or neck at all. Only his mouth moved, his fangs gleaming dully. They were too covered in blood to shine, but Harry didn't care. He turned his head to the side and grinned at Draco over his shoulder. "If you think you can handle me, Lord Malfoy." Draco stalked towards him, one fluid step, and then another. Then he was there, and his hand settled into place, iron brands on Harry's shoulder. And Harry relaxed against them, moaning a little because for the first time he didn't have to worry about protecting Draco. Draco was just as strong as Harry was, just as good. He could protect himself. He could hold Harry up. Harry could trust his strength to the point that Draco could cradle him against the burning of his ribs and not hurt him. Draco whispered against his throat, a buzzing sound of need and desire. Harry couldn't make out the words, but he didn't have to. He turned his head further in the direction that Draco needed him to go, and felt Draco's fingers straighten out in his hair and pull. Harry felt a sharp thrill cut through him. Someone else was strong, like him. Someone else could catch him when he fell. Then Draco's fangs were there, seeming to nudge the skin of his throat aside rather than cut, and Harry forced himself to relax. Even the inner barriers that kept him from falling under a vampire's thrall. The bite might be painful if he didn't. It wasn't a forcing, he found a moment later. He was relaxed, and as the fangs sank into the hilt in his neck, the pleasure began. He was burning. The pleasure wrapped around his body in a helix, flaming ropes that spread out from his throat and strangled out any other sensation. Harry drew in his breath, and the way his lungs moved was pure pleasure. His legs flexed as he leaned against Draco's chest, and he whimpered from the result. He tried to lift his hands, and Draco restrained them, and fuck! Harry would have tossed his head around as the orgasm began, except that Draco was holding it in place with his fangs, sucking intently. The orgasm jolted through him, and then Harry screamed as it began again, the sensation climbing through his body, but a much shorter climb than before and centering in the blood that flowed out of his throat in a steady pull. Oh, God! Oh God, he would die from this. He opened his mouth to scream Draco's name, but no breath passed his lips. And his heart pounded steadily, frantically towards another climax, and his lungs labored and he cried out soundlessly. And it was so good, and he felt his head fall back further, as much as he could, to feel Draco's hair against his skin, and the marble-like texture of his collarbone. Oh, he was certainly good at playing a marble statue now. And then Draco's hand fell between his legs, spread and straining as he gave himself, and Harry realized he was hard, which meant he hadn't come yet. Every orgasm he had so far was in his head, in his blood. It was amazing. He remembered the way Draco had killed for him and cried out. And Draco kissed him and wrung him at the same time. Harry screamed out into Draco's scream, feeling him swallow as if he'd swallowed the blood. He tasted blood against his tongue, above and below, tasted pleasure there and copper and iron and dust. And between his legs there was blood and pleasure, and he felt so good. And please, could it never stop? It did stop, but not before it had nearly broken him, and he sagged bonelessly and quivering in Draco's arms, and he felt the wetness against his arms. Draco had come against him there. Harry laughed, not too breathless to be triumphant. You would laugh at something like this, and his tongue scraped out and up and down Harry's neck. You would.
I would,
Harry echoed, and let his bloody lips kiss Draco's neck. And now, could you get me to a healer? I think I might have broken something else. Like me, one of my vampires retrains his wizard skills, and he was a healer, Draco said, and lifted Harry easily. Harry felt himself held in such a way that his broken ribs gave him no trouble. He sighed and leaned his head on Draco's shoulder.
A human lover couldn't do that.
He murmured sleepily.
Not this. Not carry me in the first place. Not smell me so that he would know how to hold me so I wasn't in pain.
You're mine, Draco said simply, and began to walk away from the door.
And you're mine,
Harry said, and linked his fingers into Draco's collar to cement the claim, closing his eyes as he did. The image of the dead Aurors in the street came to him, but he simply didn't care. He was done with caring, with being the duty-bound, dedicated Auror who fought for the Ministry, no matter how many times they set him up or tried to sit on him for the fame he'd never wanted. He had wanted someone to love him exclusively, to fight for him, to fight beside him, to kill for him. But he had suppressed that desire guiltily, because he wasn't supposed to want people to die. But now they had, and now he didn't care. The Ministry had got what they wanted, driving Harry away from his job at last, making it impossible for him to return. But far more importantly, Harry and Draco had what they wanted too. Starting the fire. Draco moved delicately through the rubble. At Harry's insistence, he had not destroyed the entire Ministry, though the rage in him and the magic in Harry would have been sufficient to do that, whatever Harry thought of the matter. He had, however,
attacked the officers of the magical law enforcement and the Wizengamot members and destroyed the records, the memos and the plans regarding his flock that they had down on paper. And since the ministry couldn't survive without putting half their thoughts down on paper, it was an effective way to ensure that the survivors would find it twice as difficult to strike back at him. That there were going to be survivors was one of the things Harry was responsible for. Draco smiled as he watched one woman crouched under a desk, moaning. Ah, yes, she was the one that Amelia had bitten. If the ragged wound at the edge of her collarbone was any indication. At Draco's command, Amelia had not used the thrall to make the experience an enjoyable one for her. She would retrain for the rest of her life, along with the marks of a vampire's fangs, a vague terror, all the more frightening for the lack of specific memories. There were certain memories left behind, of course. The ministry had started this in the first place because the thought of a vampire who retrained his wizarding magic terrified them. But Draco found little use for his magic most of the time. Fangs and hardened muscles and grasping hands could do what wands could not, and they were all less breakable. But for Harry, he had used his wand, and the pensives that some of those he had bribed in the ministry gave him. And the pensives stood ready and waiting, full of memories of the auras attacking Harry and sitting around in committee, planning strikes at vampires who had never harmed them. The vampire who had called himself Banner when he was alive had proven more than useful. The wizarding world would know who was responsible for this. And it was not Harry who would have served out his days as a calm auror if they had let him. Or Draco, who would not have risked his flock in a strike like this normally. Draco was looking forward to reading the lies the ministry would use to try and convince the wizarding world they were not at fault, truly. A hand fell on his shoulder. Draco turned his head and sniffed at the base of Harry's neck, welcoming and acknowledging him, and flickered his tongue out. The marks of his fangs were on the other side of Harry's throat, but it didn't matter. His tongue was long enough to touch them. He felt them glow under his touch, briefly, warm and silver-white color that reminded him of his own hair in the mirror, when he could still use mirrors. "Git!" Harry laughed, using a hand to push his tongue away. "Are we done here?" He looked around. Draco watched his face and saw the way his eyes watched the woman rocking under her desk, the other people lying half-drained and vulnerable under theirs, the burning papers, the crushed and smashed cabinets, the vampires prowling like great cats in circles and at diagonals and yawning now and then, displaying their scythe-like fangs. Perhaps his smile grew a little more fixed, a little more set. But he had made his choice, and he had asked certain things, and Draco had granted those. He leaned against Draco now, and Draco settled his arm about him, a weight of copper and lead that Harry wouldn't shift because he didn't want to. That was the most remarkable thing about all of this. The thing Draco had gained by waiting. Act earlier, and he might have had the taste of Harry's blood in his mouth, and the taste of regret in his mind, because Harry would not have accepted the domination that Draco wanted to force on him. Wait, and he had this. Harry standing under his touch, leaning into it, and his eyes, still shining, not dull. Is there any reason to remain here? He asked, and Harry's eyes twitched to him. To listen to them lament or curse you, to let them intrude on us? He reached out and trailed a single finger down Harry's shoulder to the elbow, and Harry closed his eyes and sighed out. He would make such noises now, without prompting, because he wanted to make them, because Draco wanted to hear them. They had taught each other multitudes of unspoken things, but the most conscious, Draco thought, was how to face desire. No, Harry said at last. I already spoke to Ron and told him to stay home this evening, and Hermione too. He hesitated, then added, he hates what happened to me at the Ministry's hands, but he hates everything that happened to me. Draco let his own weight rest against Harry, because he could. The smell of the scars on Harry's throat was like skin and sweat and blood. They will understand in the end, he murmured. Granger is already making strides. Harry turned to answer him and then paused when he saw the way Draco had his head tilted so that the edge of Harry's scars came into view. He shook his head. You don't care about her, he said, not enough to mention her in her own right. I do not care about them, Draco agreed, lifting his eyes back to Harry's and taking his chin between thumb and forefinger, lifting Harry's head until he stood taller than Draco. Not ever, except as extensions of you. Harry half closed his eyes and shivered. You shouldn't be able to say things that make me tremble like that, he whispered. You're not supposed to be able to get inside my head like that. I am in your head, Draco said. Your body, your blood. And I thought we had established a useful context for the word should. The corner of his palm found the scars and pressed down. It can mean what we want, Harry said, and blinked, and then suddenly snapped open eyes full of brightness so he could look at Draco. You know I hate it when you try to send me into a trance by doing that. The trance only worked once. Draco flicked his tongue out to lick the scars again, and Harry tapped it warningly with one finger before pulling back. No, Harry, I merely wanted to know what we agreed about with respect to the word should. Harry sighed and responded, It can mean whatever we want. We choose our duties now. You chose to lead the flock to gather them around you and dominate their minds, when you could have chosen to live solitary and never attract the Ministry's attention. And I chose to come to you, when I could have chosen to run away and stop investigating, and they probably would have left me alone. Although Draco privately doubted the likeliness of the last conclusion, that was the part he had wanted Harry to remember. He nodded. You deserve this. And I do. And we will have it, he said and rested his hands on Harry's shoulders as he moved around in front of him to kiss him. Harry's tongue stung his fangs and his lips burned. You should do what you want to do after spending so much time serving others. That is the only reason for the word to apply to our lives. Harry caught his hand and kissed the back of it. Draco closed his eyes and was aware of it. Hard bones, stretched skin, sluggish blood. So different from the quickness in all senses of the term of the man in front of him. But that was the contrast between them that made them the way they were and brought Draco to life nearly as much as Harry's blood. He tightened his hand around Harry's fingers, and Harry gasped slightly, and Draco had had enough of this place of burning and blame and terror. There was only one place he wanted to be right now. He gathered Harry close in his arms, hearing him hum slightly as he tended to do when Draco held him like that, and apparated them. They appeared in the throne room, and all around them was the silent light of torches and the darkness Draco had grown used to. He felt Harry raise his shoulders and bring them down, his breath escaping in a gentle hiss. This time, he was the one who kissed Draco and bore him backwards and down, to the floor that would not cut Draco's back, that was less hard than it. It was Harry who fell on him with hands and teeth and opened his clothing. Draco went loose and long-limbed to kick it off, and Harry crouched over him, using his wand to vanish his own clothing. Draco reached out and canted one hand across his hip, watching. Under his nails the skin and the blood pulsed, the green eyes shone and the scars were there. Marks of fangs, killing curses, lockets, venom. Harry had survived them all and come into this. Come back to Draco, grown into himself, grown towering. Draco kissed him and kept his lips at Harry's while his tongue flicked out and touched the scars again. This time it made Harry growl, a low enough sound that Draco felt the throb in his stomach when he listened. Harry liked things about him like this, he had told Draco 3 days ago, as they planned their assault on the Ministry, things that no human lover could do, things that reminded him Draco was someone extraordinary, for whom he had chosen to throw over his world. Harry Potter would never have an ordinary, normal life, but he could admit to himself, and to Draco at last, that he didn't want one, that trying to have one would be false in and of itself. Draco had been part of that realization. He ran his nails over Harry's shoulder, and Harry hissed and tossed his head back. The hisses melted into the edge of parcel tongue, melted into groans, melted back into words, as Draco let himself draw blood. A single scratch. He didn't bring his hand to his mouth. He lay still and let Harry fall back into himself. A long, long spiral down before he blinked and looked straight at Draco with clear eyes. "Bite me," he said, and lay down on Draco's chest as on a bed, his head lowered, his hair sweeping over Draco's neck in a crisp, curling mass. And Draco smelt it, and smelt iron, and ivory, and blood, and extended his fangs to touch the scars on Harry's throat. Harry arched a flowing, sensual gesture that he would never have permitted himself when he was still part of the Ministry, and then tilted his head backwards in a single, agile movement, so that he was the one who brought himself onto Draco's fangs, who broke the skin. Draco made a sound that was sob or grunt or hiss. He didn't know which, and then the blood was in his mouth. He had tasted Harry's blood more than once now, and it was not the first time, but it was overwhelming, crushing. It seized him and hurled him, and he was not the one in control here, though he knew someone else might think so, coming on him embedded in Harry like this. He racked Harry's hips again with blunt claws and sucked and drew and dragged and was sucked and drawn and dragged. Harry's lips parted and his eyes closed, and there was fire in Draco's mouth, and weight wheeled him under. He was drowning in the sea, fighting back to the looming waves high above him. But he had no need to breathe, and in the throes of a feeling like this, he had no need of a sense of direction either. There was nothing here but dazzle, light and more than light, burning darkness, the memories of their month together, the races and the challenges and the yelling into each other's faces, and the moment when Harry had bitten him back and Draco had gone hard in an instant from the sight of his dull blood on Harry's blunt teeth. This was unstoppable, something he could not stand up to, something that had no use for him if he did not conform to it. He was part of it, and he was more united with Harry than he was alone in his own mind. Controlling other vampires could not compare to it. There he could drown them if he wished. Here it was swim or be drowned himself. He drank and drank and reached down. Harry, yielding to the pleasure because he wanted to, opened his eyes and chuckled quietly as Draco's nails scraped at his arms. Then he grabbed his wand, lying abandoned to the side, and cast another spell. This time, one that made him relax, half boneless. Draco extended his arm as he could his tongue, bones crackling under the skin, and found Harry's hole with two fingers. Harry bowed his head and huffed. Draco's fingers sank deep. Harry was rocking on them in instants, chanting something muffled, half in parcel tongue, half in English. Draco shook his head and brought his fangs free. "You have to hold still," he said, because he had said it before and he liked Harry's response. "The hell I do," Harry said, and leaned back, levering himself with grace and strength on his hands alone, placed on Draco's hips. He dropped towards Draco's cock and Draco scrabbled to get it in place. Harry was not above bringing himself off and then walking away if Draco teased him too long or didn't cooperate. And then he was inside Harry, and he was weightless. Harry closed his eyes above him, his face so bright with pleasure that it made Draco's cock stare from that alone. Harry rocked and sighed, and his sides were deeper than before, pulled from somewhere inside him that Draco believed he didn't show to anyone else. He jammed himself backwards and rocked faster, and Draco felt the pleasure begin to splinter him, making him drive his hips into a ribbon that was Harry's, not his own. He tried to cling. He drove his fingernails into Harry's skin and extended his tongue to lap the blood dripping from the wounds dry. But the pleasure here was as intense as that he caused Harry when he drank. Harry opened one eye and smirked, then braced his feet against the floor and began to bounce. He couldn't keep that up for long, as Draco knew from experience, but he didn't need to. Buried inside, and Harry fucking himself in short, smooth strokes, his breath making his chest move and shine with life. His eyes too brilliant to be comfortable, reminding Draco of the burning, killing sun. It was too short. it always was. No matter how many times Draco did this, or how many times Harry did this, or how many times they spent together. Harry's head was back and quivering, and his legs were clenching down, and he came just from Draco inside him, and licking him. And Draco was aware of a minor surge of pleasure at that, before the greater pleasure came down and overwhelmed him, crushing him. He had spent the last 7 years since he was turned learning to cope with being a vampire and being powerful for once, instead of merely dreaming that he was, thanks to his father's name. He had to relearn now how he could stand in awe of something and allow himself to stand in awe, instead of trying to master it. They lay together when it was done. Draco's fingernails were sticky, and his stomach, and his tongue, and his cock. He listened to Harry's heart, felt his skin, smelt his contentment. Then Harry said, "We should try it upright next time." Draco nodded and licked the side of his throat and said nothing. Harry propped himself up on one elbow and considered him speculatively. Draco wondered if he really thought that Draco wouldn't want to have sex with him in whatever position he wanted, but his next words put paid to that. "I won't be all right with everything you do," he said. "But what I wanted to know," Draco said and put a hand on Harry's shoulder to slit the air with a nail trailing down, "was what would make you turn away from me, not what would make you argue with me." He leaned nearer until their eyes were near enough to intermingle lashes and their foreheads near enough that he could feel the heat from the oldest of Harry's scars. "And you needn't think I'd be all right with everything you do, either." For a moment, the tension held between them, bright and strong. Not brittle, Draco thought. Nothing they did together would ever be brittle again. And then Harry smiled and rolled off him onto the floor, conjuring a blanket for himself. "Good, I'm glad we understand each other." Draco lay still, his arm over Harry, Harry's warmth the only blanket he needed, and waited for the coming of the day that would separate them, and the night that would rejoin them, and more on from that. Night and day without end, forevermore an endless series of meetings. The end.